Welcome to the Month 10 Investable ETR briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st to the 31st of October 2023. Hopefully you will find it interesting as we look closer at what is happening within the credit group. Firstly, we will look at a trade finance originator and have a refresh on the core principles credit was built on. Next, Neil will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. There will also be our monthly segments on the Seaborne reports and any updates from the European and global economies. And after, we will look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it and some update on credit. So for our first topic, I'll hand you over to Robert, who is a member of our trade desk.
Thank you, Ruby. So today's Originator Spotlight introduces an Irish-based client whose advancements into the fashion sector has been significantly enhanced through credit services since joining the exchange in 2020. Using our trade finance product, this dynamic client has strengthened their financial capacity, enabling them to order clothing supplies in bulk. Notably, their specialization in denim products, including jeans, has gained attention, with retail channels extending from online platforms to occasional physical pop-up shops around the country. The two directors steering this originator success are not only successful business leaders in the fashion industry, but they both forged notable careers prior to this, one having a successful modelling career before becoming an award-winning businesswoman and number one best-selling author. The second director had a successful career as a television presenter before moving into the clothing industry. As a result of their success, they are both also influential social media figures, collectively boasting an impressive 500,000 followers. Their strategic use of social media has played a pivotal role in expanding the brand's reach, contributing substantially to the company's growth. To date, this particular originator has successfully traded more than 4.4 million euro worth of stock supplier invoices. Credit facilitates the payments to the suppliers primarily based in Turkey, which streamlines the supply chain process. The originator uses Shopify as their sales platform and Shopify Payments as their payment solution, so the company transactions can be efficiently and easily monitored. Trade Desk holds an assignment over all the sales receipts flowing from both online sales and any pop-up shop sales, meaning the sales receipts are paid to the credit bank account. For any pop-up shops, there's a physical store that use Shopify point-of-sale machines, so all credit card and debit card payments that are processed in-store will also flow through Shopify and in turn to credit's bank account. This ensures transparency and traceability of funds through our access to the online Shopify platform. In a strategic move to diversify and strengthen their brand, the originator communicated with Credit earlier this year of their plans to launch a cosmetics line. Trade Desk assessed the business plan, reviewed the financials, and conducted due diligence on manufacturers, and we were happy to extend a facility increase of up to €250,000 to support product ordering and manufacturing. The originator wanted to create a brand with a range of exceptional beauty products that are expertly crafted, environmentally conscious, and easy to use. But they wanted the products to feature professional-grade formulations. So they spent 6 months visiting various manufacturers and factories across Europe to ensure that they could create the bespoke beauty products. All the chosen suppliers are blue-chip cosmetic manufacturers in Italy and Germany, who have a proven track record dealing with premium and luxury well-known brands such as MAC, Chanel, Hourglass, and several others. The initial cosmetic launch was timed with Black Friday, but it launched a couple of weeks early to test the market, and I'm delighted to say that the brand successfully debuted a few weeks ago, surpassing initial sales projections. They anticipate that this trajectory will continue into the Christmas period. The originator plans to introduce new products to market over the next 6 months as well, with the help of Credit, and they're aiming for a sustained sales growth and brand expansion. It's important for us to showcase Credit's dedication to funding Irish companies, playing a pivotal role in their growth stories. This commitment is particularly evident in our originator's ability to seize opportunities for business expansion. By aligning with Credit investor funds, these companies can navigate and capitalize on evolving market trends. I'll now pass the presentation over to Neil, who will discuss some potential deals that Deal Desk is currently reviewing, offering insights into prospective opportunities that may be included in our future briefings.
Just before you start, Neil, Robert and Neil, both of you should have a chat. Maybe we can get those, I think they're called internet influencers, to make some nice comments about credit,
okay.
Which yeah. would also help in our soon-to-be-released our own online marketing of Investable. So you might just, I don't know who's the right person to approach in that company, but it would seem a shame not to leverage. We've helped them. Maybe they'd help us back, kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure we can have a word with them.
Okay, great. Sorry for interrupting. But Ruby did tell me it was a casual briefing, so I was allowed to interrupt. Carry on.
Thanks, Robert. Afternoon, everyone. It's been a busy few weeks on the deal desk, and we're currently speaking to some quality international originators. One originator we're currently in discussion with, who are based in the UK, but were originally set up in the UAE in 2015. They also have an office in the US. They specialize in the wholesale and distribution of a diverse range of products, including refined sugar, cooking oils, electronics, and petroleum products. They provided high quality products to meet the demands of their customers. And the specific deal we're in discussions with them is regarding their upcoming project, where they will purchase refined sugar from a supplier in Brazil. They'll then sell that to a customer based in the UAE. We're currently waiting documentation to support this trade, and we look forward to the potential engagement from them in the future, as they're also interested in discussing a trade involving edible oils like vegetable oils, rapeseed oils, which they will then look to purchase from Indonesia and Malaysia, as well as in Ukraine. They're also looking to purchase petroleum from the UAE and Qatar. Another deal we're currently discussing, also funny enough, involving sugar, and the originator again is in the UAE. Similarly to the other one, this company wants to purchase sugar from a supplier in Brazil and wants to sell to customers in Oman. The transaction is based off a contract from the Oman government, which makes the deal very attractive for us. We're currently waiting on the documentation from them. In addition to the sugar deal, the company also manufactures high-quality food products, produced in accordance with strict ethical and environmental standards. And they have a wide range of products, specifically manufacture olive mixes, spreads, and ready-to-eat products. And they're all crafted with authentic local ingredients. In the coming months, we'll be eager to discuss exporting such products to their customers in Saudi Arabia. So let's see how the first deal goes, and we'll look to have further discussions on that kind of stuff further down the line. We're also seeing more traffic on the shipping side of the business, and we're keen to see what we can achieve here in 2024 in relation to purchasing of vessels. As in recent weeks, we've seen an increase in customers contacting us regarding vessel finance. One company based in Nigeria are looking to purchase a bulk carrier, and we've previously spoken to this company before, and unfortunately they'd but purchasing an oil tanker sadly fell through. So surprising turn of events, we were contacted again, and now they're in the process of purchasing another vessel. We kind of maintained interaction with this company, and they're involved in the transportation of renewable fuel globally. So we were delighted to re-engage, and we progressed the deal to a point, many back and forth conversations, and we received various pieces of documentation. So look, having kept the lines of communication open, they've reached out to us again, and it's a testament to the hard work and the rapport building we do on the deal desk that it's proven time and again that persistence is the key to our success. Lastly, as we discussed sugar in two deals previously, I have some statistics on this that you may find interesting. Currently, there's a global deficit of 5.4 million metric tons of sugar this season alone, affecting both the baking and consumer trends. Recently, the world's largest sugar trader, Alvion, said it's expecting a sixth straight year of deficits in the next sugar season, owing to concerns over shortages and supply. Sugar prices are currently trading at a 12-year high in London. So this could lead to an increase in traders approaching credit to fund sugar transactions. And look, we're going to keep a close eye on that going forward. Thank you so much for your time, everyone. It's always a pleasure. And Ruby, over to you.
Thanks, Neil. As always, it's nice to hear about some of the deals that you and the deal desk are looking at. Hopefully in the future, we will be discussing some of these in our trade section of the briefing. As discussed before, Credit will continue to stay informed on what's going on in the world when we're looking for a new business. Trades that are meaningful and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available, as they're what the world and the market is focusing on. Looking to the seaborne reports that cover the major activities affecting shipping and the economy, we see that the ongoing Israeli-Hamas war has caused a lot of focus on increasing risks for all financial markets, as investors around the world wait to see if the conflict will cause issues globally, with potential to cause a further increase to oil prices and deal a fresh blow to the world economy. Currently, Credit has no direct exposure to the key countries involved in the conflict, and we continue to monitor events and look for any potential spread to other countries in the region. We saw that oil prices have dropped in the US after the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries delayed a meeting on production cuts that was scheduled for this month. Oil prices have fallen abruptly from September as production collides with demand concerns in China, where exports have fallen 6 months in a row. The West Texas Intermediate crude fell 67 cents, while Brent crude oil fell to 49 cents. According to the American Petroleum Institute, the US oil inventories fell more than 9 million barrels in previous weeks, which was against the market's expectations of an increase of around 1.5 million barrels. It is expected that oil exports and production in Russia will fall by over 300,000 barrels per day by the end of this year, compared to the average between the May and the June period. The country had already reduced its oil production by 500,000 barrels per day back in April and oil exports by 300,000 barrels back in September. The Ministry of Energy in Russia has stated that they have limited its supply of oil and petroleum products to ensure market stability. The ongoing price caps of Russian oil have reportedly been avoided, forcing countries to find new ways to reinforce the sanction. The latest data showed that almost none of the shipments of seaborne crude was executed below the $60 limit that was imposed. Instead, it showed the average price received was over $80 per barrel. As stated before, this price cap was put in place to keep Russian oil flowing through global markets as G7 members tried to avoid a decrease in supply and rising costs that would benefit Moscow. To finish off this section, seaborne reports once again hold steady their figures regarding changes to the global fleet, with both the Handymax and the Panamax set to lose over 15% of their fleet in the next 5 years, and their future order book not sufficient enough to replace this loss. If we look to the Baltic Index, it seemed to be a positive month for October. The month began at 1,739, while constantly increasing throughout the month. We found at the middle of the month, the index reached the highest peak that we've seen this year at 2,105. And then throughout the end of the month, the Baltic Index slowly declined, finishing the month of October at 1,400. Luckily, this trend is not continuing as the index has increased again since month 10 and is now currently sitting at 2,391. If we look to the FFA markets, we can see that this increase has followed suit. The current spot price is 14,000, which has improved since last month, which stood at $12,800. Looking at the rest of 2023, we can see a slight drop is forecasted for the FFA markets going into quarter one of 2024 at $10,650, and quarter two slightly reviving with a gradual increase at $12,150. Although there was not a significant decline forecasted for the remainder of this year, we will still see a fall, which is due to Europe's current global economy. As previously spoken about last month, this decline in growth can be due to the long-term consequences of COVID, Russia's war in Ukraine, the Israeli-Hamas war, and inflation. We saw that the European Central Bank has paused its toughest cycle of increasing interest rates this year. The ECB left its rates unchanged for the first time in 15 months following 10 previous increases, as it is believed that it had done enough for now to tackle the rising cost of living. the ECB voted to keep the rate at 4%, which is its highest rate since the launch of the currency. Although inflation remains higher than the banks, concerns are increasing about the impact of rate increases on the European economy, with warnings of a recession which could be led by a downturn in Germany due to a manufacturing slump and the uncertainty surrounding the progression of the Israeli-Hamas war. The economy is likely to remain weak for the remainder of the year, but as inflation falls further and the demand for exports pick up, the economy should strengthen over the coming years, according to Christine Lagarde, the ECB president. The decision was supported by the US Federal Reserve and the Bank of England as the world's leading central banks pause after the sharpest cycle of increased interest rates in decades. As rising oil prices add to inflation pressure, the US growth remains more resilient than anticipated. Figures from the US economy showed growth had accelerated in the third quarter to 4.9%, stronger than previously forecasted. It is expected, though, that the US will keep the rates on hold in the coming weeks between 5.2 to 5.5% after increasing them back in July and ultimately cut interest rates in 2024. The chair of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, stated the central bank drew closer to its inflation goal over the last year, choosing to keep rates steady as it continues the steps necessary to bring inflation down to normal levels. There was some relief in the UK as the Bank of England's inflation dropped by more than expected in October to 4.6%, down from 6.7% in September due to decreased energy prices. The decrease in rates is welcomed by Rishi Sunak, who had promised to have price growth in England by the end of 2023. Despite this sharp fall in inflation last month, Britain still has the highest rate of consumer price growth among the group of seven nations, and the Bank of England have stressed that it is nowhere near cutting interest rates from their 15-year high. Julian Lafargue, the chief market strategist at Barclays, stated that the UK economy is still very much facing stagflation, and in their view, the road ahead will likely continue to be bumpy. Moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. So you will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 52.9 million euro with 63.2 million fully allocated. If you look to the right-hand side of the briefing, you can see that the credit index has returned to the norm for a second month in a row to 67, which is still in the average range that we expect to see. The trading figure for the month was 11.3 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully allocated. Treasury performance fell to 4.4 million euro for month 10, and the exchange's performance continues to jump ahead of all prior years by 4%. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from the likes of the HSE and EKFB. At the top of the list is our two mining with Balfour Beatty being its ninth month in a row and Skanska's 10th on the list, being the two largest holdings on the exchange. EKFB makes another appearance this month with the HSE and the Lancashire County Council. Tarmac Trading has been added along with the Tradius and Lucan Lodge, showing again in this month's top 10 largest ETR holdings. Our donut graphs show a wide variation of our investments, with the largest section again in health and community, construction and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and recurring ones, as well as new debtors being added monthly. EKFB, Aggregate Industries and Midland Quarries are examples of some of the companies representing the construction section, while the HSE and Lucan Lodge represent the health and community sector. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed throughout credit. Now, if we look to the performance sector, we see that month 10 in 2023 compared to month 10 in 2022 has decreased to 41.5%, with 11.3 million euro traded for October of 2023. This is compared to 19.4 million euro that was traded back in October of 22. Volumes remain steady for this month at 19.8%, as the value to volume ratio increased again in line with higher value and quality traded ETORs. Investor redemptions more than doubled this month at 2.5 million euro. And the credit index was recorded at 67. And following the last briefing, our latest trade was a shipping trade this month at 3.1 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand fixed and term rates. As you will all know from previous months, we have increased our investable rates on offer for the three products. And with Bank of Ireland's increased deposit rate and the increasing rates from the ECB, we will continue to monitor the market. So if banks continue to increase their rates, we too will continue to increase ours, so that your investors retain the advantage of investing with us. Our rates currently now stand at demand at 4.25%, fixed at 5% for 12 months, and term at 19% at the end of the 36 months. This section further shows how demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. With a combination of the new rates and exchange traded securities, which many of you have discussed with Patrick over the last couple of months, it's predicted that this will continue to grow. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 52.9 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for October 2023.